I thought he had a new show, Chuck Lorre, this year.
Didn't Mom? I know. Is that Mom the Alice and Janney show? Is that a?
Oh, that's is that
a
right.
Chuck Lorre joint.
That's a Chuck Lorre joint. You're right, and I like Alice and Janney a lot.
Me too.
But everything Chuck Lorre touches, he is the King Midas of shit.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Ross Frostick, and I know the best game of the week.
Here we are once again at the round table. It's more of a triangle this week with Griffin in Tokyo.
But even when he's here, it's more of a square, to be honest.
But Griffin has missed the video game event of the century.
Yeah,
with the release of Grand Theft Auto 5, which is what we're talking about today. Going to do our best to avoid spoilers, but I'm editing this week's program, so I can't guarantee that I won't let all of them slip through the cracks.
Are you going to edit in different spoilers that we don't even talk about?
For different games.
Cool.
So, Plant, you wrote the review for the website that we work for, Polygon.com. So if anybody wants your thoughts, I'm sure that they are laid bare everywhere across the internet, right?
Yeah, I don't think Plant even needs to talk during this show.
I'm just going to listen, you know, and kind of moderate.
Yeah.
That would be great. Thank you so much. I've played about maybe 20 hours.
Yeah, I'm about there as well.
About 20 hours. And, I mean, obviously I've put 20 hours into it over the span of 3 days, so I am very much enjoying it. We were talking about this right before, and I don't want to start off with a bummer, but I feel like you've heard so many good things. I want to talk about my weird hang up right now. I have a gripe. I love how expansive the world is. I love a lot of stuff about it. I'm finding it weirdly a flat experience.
Not geographically.
There's all kinds of variation there. But I feel like there's not a lot of peaks and valleys in terms of the old funometer. A lot of times I'm doing assignments, many assignments in a row, and not getting a reward for them, be it monetary or real estate or vehicles or whatever. And I don't know. When you're in one of the big main missions, one of the heist missions that Chris talked about, or there's even a couple of the story missions that are sort of like that, that are actually like genuinely kind of wild. But a lot of it seems very sort of methodical and plodding. And I don't know. Like a lot of it I'm not getting peaks.
Yeah,
and valleys.
It's weird because a lot of the missions, even the story missions, are like weird logistical setup missions to what will eventually be maybe more interesting heist missions. So like there's a mission where you like are a dock worker and you follow the job as a dock worker like to the T, and that's literally the entire mission. Like you don't do anything illegal for that entire mission.
Yeah, it's like a fully a Shenmue moment where you're like manipulating giant crates with a big fork. It's like, I don't know if you're trying to appeal to toddlers here, like the ones that watch those big machinery videos or whatever, but like this is dull.
Yeah. I mean, I've also even done things where you like assume like, "Oh, I got to get money for this." I'm like doing I'm driving the tow truck around and picking up cars for this lady that I have a history with, and I don't even get money for those. She's just like, thanks a lot for helping out. And it seems weird because we're so trained when playing Grand Theft Auto, or even not even Grand Theft Auto, but any open world game, that every little thing you do ends up giving you money. That's an adjustment I can make. Like, that doesn't bother me. I think what I'm more put off by is, like, so far, yeah, I'm about 20 hours in, and, like, I'm not in the way that, I guess, a game like Saints Row, and obviously they are different games tonally, but Saints Row unlocks constantly so much new stuff every time you finish a mission. Like, oh, you finish this mission, here's access to this crazy car. Oh, you finish this mission, here's this new superpower, whatever. And I'm obviously not looking for anything that outlandish, but more of a feeling like I'm unlocking stuff and, like, unlocking interesting like ways to play the game.
To illustrate this point, I actually the best way I've found of making money, since I'm not making money from doing missions, the best way I've found of making money is to game the stock market. Occasionally you'll do a mission where there's a full stock market constantly fluctuating. You can invest your money via your cell phone. You'll do missions occasionally that will impact, and you'll get like a hint that, you know, if you buy deep into this certain stock, then you'll, you know,
it'll be like you're going to assassinate this CEO of a company. So you want to buy heavy in the rival company.
Right. Exactly. And I just spent the last like 15 minutes watching a stock price, like, and it was the most boring thing. But I mean, I'm literally talking about doubling the money that I have available. And also, each of your characters have separate investment portfolios. So if you know one of these things is about to go down, you invest all your money from all your characters, switching from character to character, investing, and then you watch the stock market change over time. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm not making money otherwise, so I kind of need to get it where I can get it. And it's so, like, I can't believe it's making me do this.
The thing is, it's not making you do it at all, because you always have way more money than you actually need to do anything in the game that actually serves a story. The one thing you can't do is, you know, buy up property. But you will always have way, 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 way more money than you need for absolutely everything else.
But I like buying property.
But that's the thing, is it's what I liked about this, and what I think is funny, is that it played on the ideas of crime video games and crime movies. And this is by no means is it of this caliber, but a lot of what Breaking Bad is about is you can get the money, but there's all this baggage that comes with it. And like, just getting the money and owning it and keeping it is the difficult part. And what I think a lot of this game is about is you don't just get money when you commit crimes. You have to launder it. There are going to be people that you have to pay off. You'll always be in debt because there are always bigger fish who are going to blackmail you and use what they know about you against you. And you're constantly being punished in this game. And it becomes a story of tying up loose ends to get any money. And it still gives you money to actually have fun in the game. If you are that person who needs to like have more money than is absolutely necessary, there is a stock market, which is also funny because it basically says if you really want to get rich in this game, the legal means, like the shady but legal way of doing it, is way more profitable than crime.
Yeah, well, right, it's insider trading, so it's still not really legal.
Well, but sure, but I'm
fine with all that. I just, like, my problem is it's a question of the reward cycle being broken. Like, if you don't want to give me money for this, like, that's fine, but don't ask me to do, like, the most boring thing, like, several most boring things ever in a row. Like, for example, I drove this, at one point you steal a vehicle. It is a watercraft. And you have to, and it is so slow. This is actually a repeated problem. And it is so slow. And after you steal it, you get the thrilling thrill of slowly, slowly driving it back to the coast. At which point you load it onto a truck and then slowly drive a slow, slow truck.
To make you feel better, because you're still talking about the port mission, it is the most sim-like and slowest point of the game. Like, after that, it is crazy town.
Maybe I'm not. I don't know. Are you talking about, like, the... Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't know.
No, you probably don't, because the rest of the game you haven't played, but...
No, I'm, like, a little bit past that, and I'm still... I don't know. I guess part of it might be because I'm focusing more on the Freaks missions, as they're called.
Sure.
The question mark missions, which, like... generally, like, have you doing very odd things but not getting anything out of it, like helping out a paparazzi guy to like shoot sex photos, and then he's like, thanks for the photos, peace. And it's weird because like I have, like, what drives me through these, like, why I keep playing, is because the missions are generally pretty fun and like funny and interesting. But some of them aren't, as Justin said. And I just, like, from a character standpoint, like, why would Franklin be helping this guy if he's not getting anything out of it? It's sort of weird.
Yeah, in the first paparazzi mission, at the end of the mission, he's like, give me some money. It's like, well, I thought the bike would cover your half. So he gives you a bike that he stole. And it's like, man, I can steal. I can get any car. Watch me. I'm going to shoot this old lady and take her car. So you see, I'm just going to pile up 5 cars here. I don't need cars. I have cars.
I think that is the question, though. Do you want a game that is going to withhold from you and also make it really obvious as your character is growing abilities, or something that basically makes everything available up front and your character growing stronger is all but, you know, not there? I mean, it doesn't make it clear to you.
The character growing stronger is almost imperceptible. Like, if I'm getting better at this stuff, I do not detect it.
Trevor's driving is terrible.
Flying and driving, I noticed a lot.
I can't, Trevor's driving is super low, and Franklin's driving is, like, maxed. And unless I'm using Franklin's, like, super slow down driving ability, I can't tell the difference.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm just not. But, I mean, this is all, I think it's worth saying that even though I would agree with Justin that, like, I don't, apart from, like, doing the missions, I don't know what's propelling me through the game. I do genuinely enjoy doing most of the missions. Like, they're usually pretty interesting and fun, especially the, like, big set piece story missions, heist missions, etc. are, like, really fun. Probably the best GTA missions I've ever had in a GTA game.
Oh, no doubt. Like, some of the story-based missions are fantastic. I just wonder if they could maybe have cut back on the quantity of some of this stuff in order to create some more, like, real set pieces like that.
Yeah, I like, maybe even something as simple as, like, feel like you're upgrade. In previous GTA games, you could, like, upgrade your house so that you would, like, if you found a bunch of hidden packages or whatever, there'd, like, always be a minigun there or always be a piece of body armor there. And even something like that would make me feel like, okay, I'm, like, getting something out of doing these missions, which may or may not be realistic, but it would give me a sense of accomplishment and sort of make the game not easier, but, like, work for me a little more. But, yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I am still having a lot of fun with it. I guess it feels like nitpicky, but it also...
Yeah, I'm curious how you'll think of it at the end of the game. It's something I'd like to talk about more once you've actually finished it.
I think that actually ties... My complaint actually ties into my best... which is the best 20 minutes I wasted this week. And maybe waste is too strong of a word, but you know you got to keep it punchy to keep the listener interest. The being in this world is really amazing, especially at the beginning when I was just like driving and sort of getting my bearings. It feels so... This past summer, I did Max Fun Con and then E3 back-to-back, and I flew out to Los Angeles twice, and for Max Fun Con, I had to drive up the coast and up a mountain, and for E3,
the 10, right? You drove up the 10?
Took the 10 out to the 405. No.
Yeah.
And then with E3, of course, for downtown most of the time, driving around. It feels uncannily like that. Like, even though the locations aren't exactly like these spots, like, it's not like recognizable geography per se. There are things that feel so much like, Los Angeles and the surrounding area without actually being the specific objects.
Right. Rockstar is like, there's no doubt that they crush everyone else on this, like, in terms of, like, believable, relatable environments that also, like, have weirdly, eerily similar connections to their real life counterparts. Like, even for GTA 4, like, there's just like there's this barbecue place that most people, like, probably people only in New York know about, up in Harlem, and it's, like, in the game, and GTA 5 has that same stuff where it's like, oh, there's that hotel I stayed at, and it's, like, block for block exactly like the hotel.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Especially the beach areas feel very much like But anyway, the reason I mention all this is this verisimilitude within the world. There are movie theaters that you could go and watch a movie if you like, if you want to spend your time that way. I sat and watched a 20-minute long black and white French impressionist film. I think it's it's a one word name, starts with a C. It's actually the only movie playing right now. I'm hoping that there's some variety there, but I watched the entire thing, and it's so bizarre to not be. It almost feels like you're. I don't know. It almost feels like antagonistic to the game in a way. Like, hey, yeah, you got a lot going on. I'm going to go sit in a movie theater and watch this movie you made. And you have the option of doing that. And it's really interesting that you. I find it so satisfying for some reason to sort of get out of the flow of the game and do stuff like that. I find it really. Really compelling, and I was surprised at how the fact that I sat and watched the entire thing.
Have you played golf yet?
Yeah, I did that too.
That is one of the things I didn't talk about in the review, but that and the tennis blew me away. In terms of, like, with golf, you can walk from hole to hole,
yeah,
or get near a cart, and whoever's playing with you will get in the cart and join you. But then. The golf course is in the center of downtown LA, and traffic and, you know, passersby are going on right outside the gate, or the fence. You can see the world existing, which was surreal because, you know, I've played plenty of golf games like Tiger Woods, but it does feel like it exists in this kind of like hollow world where it's like, oh, well,
it exists on planet golf.
Yeah. The course ends on this two-dimensional
plane. Like you're under the dome.
Yeah, exactly. But here, you can do this. You could just, you know, run away. Like, you can be like, I'm done with the game. I'm running away.
I'm losing. Screw you guys. And then you sprint.
And yeah, that there's something about that that is just really neat.
Yeah.
Is it the ability to have... Is it the fact that you can stop? Is that what makes it work? Like... The fact that you're there of your own volition, like, well, I'm watching a movie, but I could stop watching the movie if I wanted to.
Yeah, I think that explains, like, the cutscene thing, right? Like, a cutscene's more enjoyable when you choose to watch it instead of, like, being told. No one likes to be told what to do.
Yeah, it also feels like you're sort of privy to something that most people probably wouldn't spend the time to do. Which goes to my other thought, whenever I'm doing all this side stuff like the golf or the tennis or movies and stuff like that, like the amount of time and resources spent on stupid things that most people, I'm not saying they're bad, but they're like so ancillary to what's going on with the rest of the game. And chances are, like, who's going to sit and watch that movie? 10% of the people that play it, if that. So much content was made for this game that most people will never, never see. And it's sort of, I mean, that's, you know, you don't get that with most games. Like, there's, you know, a guy with a clipboard checking down, like, budgets for each section of the game, and they cut where they think they'll, you know, it won't be noticed. But when it's a GTA game, everything that they could possibly do is thrown in there. And just imagine, there was probably a significant number of people just dedicated to making that golf sim.
It's that, crazy.
I guess that's why I was a little surprised when you said you felt like it didn't have the hills and the valleys. And I think this is just a difference between, you know, how certain people play games. But, I mean, I've talked about it a billion times. Just Cause 2 is, to me, like a perfect game. And I play it so often because it's a vacation for me. Like, I go in there, and sometimes I just fly, and sometimes I will just go parachuting. And I use it for different things. And... even though I had to play this game in a very condensed amount of time, I just went at it under the idea that if I don't know how long it's going to take me to finish it. And I enjoyed so much just driving and finding weird, weird things. And I'm still seeing them in other people's videos. I thought I had seen everything. And every video review I watch, I see something that I didn't see in the game.
I do think that this is where we have a significant difference of, and I don't even think it's opinion. I think it's just
taste.
I think a lot of this for me is created by the fact that I don't like driving. I don't like.
Oh, really?
I don't like to have to drive from A to B. That's like not fun for me. Saints Row, and I don't want to keep talking about Saints Row, but like, I mean, this is why this one, Saints Row or a game like Prototype or whatever appeals to me more, is that it's fun to get around the world. Like in GTA, I don't think it's fun to like drive around and maybe run into somebody and then have to run from the cops. And although I do think it's a lot more fun in GTA 5 because you're in a much more open environment than Liberty City.
Yeah.
So it's not quite the sort of rat in a maze feeling that you have when you were being chased by the cops in that game. But I don't think it's very, I don't like driving. I don't particularly enjoy it.
I would agree that I am on the opposite side of that. The changes that they made, it's not only the map, but also the way the cars feel. Like, I get a lot of enjoyment out of traveling to the point where, I mean, you have the taxi option. If there's like a really long trip, you can call a cab and like fast
Which
travel
is,
there.
Which is exactly as annoying as it is trying to get a cab in LA. It is exactly as
still
frustrating.
Like, wait 3 minutes. You're not sure if they're actually going to show up. It's a little hit or miss, but I find that I rarely use it because I do, even when I'm not playing as like the guys that are specializing in driving, Michael or Trevor, I still get a lot of enjoyment out of just the driving engine and like weaving through cars. And it's just fun for me. But I could see how if you don't get a lot of enjoyment out of that, you wouldn't enjoy it. I'd also say, to Justin's point, and I guess this is contrary to what Plant was saying, I agree with Plant when he was saying that Just Cause feels like a vacation because everything you're doing is like fun and silly and you're just messing around. I don't get as much of a feeling like that with GTA because most of the side activities that I've found, at least so far, I don't find super fun. Like, I don't find the golf game that much fun or even tennis. Like, I did the triathlon, and that was just, like, a misery of slamming the A button a bunch. There's, like, a lot of activities to do, but they don't really grab me anywhere near as much as story missions. Which?
Have you done the racing, either jet ski or the
off-road? No, I haven't done those racings yet. I did one race, but...
I was going to say, I really dug those. The car,
really
the car
races street race. I did one street race that I really liked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel the same way. Kind of like I there are so many things and so many of them for me are just they are competent. Like, it's more like I'm more impressed that they did it.
Yeah.
Than I like enjoy or seek it out. Like, a great example, I think, for me is the firing range. Right. So you have these skills, and one of the fastest ways to increase some of these skills is to there's a driving range, there's a shooting range, and there's a flight school, so you can increase those skills that way. And the shooting range is like very gamified, very much like you're trying to do this specific thing. If you fail it, it's a quick retry to try it again. And I actually spent an hour doing that of my own, even after my shooting skill was maxed, because it was well composed. It had a good cycle of like challenge versus reward, and even though, you know, I was just getting medals, and I don't know what those are good for, I found myself doing that of my own volition. And there just aren't enough things like that like I want to keep doing just because I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I also think, can I talk about one other thing that's kind of a weird bummer to me? The missions, again, not getting any spoilers, but missions after you complete any mission, there's this set of goals. You already know what I'm talking about.
It's not as bad as the Assassin's Creed one, though.
But it's along the same lines where I'll complete a mission and then it'll pop up these like the secondary goals that you aren't privy to before you do the mission. So they're only all it does is make you feel bad because a lot of these missions are so dull that there's no way I'd do it again. Like, no way on earth. But if I had known about them, it might have actually made it more enjoyable for me, like to add that extra layer of challenge onto it. because like you don't find them out about until afterwards, and you feel bad because you didn't do these things that you didn't know you were supposed to do in the first place. And that's it's a really weird choice. I don't even know what those medals are for. Like, I don't even know what they signify. I thought that was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I feel the same way. They're also like weirdly like difficult to discern because it'll be like, hang them high, and you failed that for some reason.
Whatever.
But
that
you don't
was.
Know what that even means. It's strange. I think it goes to like, it's more designed for like the replay nature of it. And maybe that's something they should have just buried in the menus that you could go after you finish the main story. You could like go back and perfect each of these missions. But the fact that it like slams it in your face that like, great job, 63%, is just kind of depressing.
And that's so strange to me. You made a game that's supposedly, I think, by a pretty... it would take a lot of justification to get to this point, but supposedly there's 100 hours of stuff to do. You made a game with 100 hours of stuff to do. Why are you not more? Why are you programming for the person that is going to want to go into hour 101? Like, why would you not want my first playthrough with this stuff to be the best it could be? Rather than, I mean, with a game this large, it's not like you need replay value. So, like, why impede the first playthrough,
right,
in service of an imaginary person who, like,
I don't think
imaginary, but I'm saying a minority
when,
of
when
people.
When you see the completion rates of games like Skyrim and GTA 4, I don't know. There are a lot of people who they buy one game a year.
Yeah,
and
I completely
overkill.
Get that. Those
by
people,
the way,
exactly
I finished both GTA 4 and Skyrim.
I think those people exist. Clearly, they're on this podcast. I'm just saying it's weird to cater to them. It's not as bad as the...
Yeah.
You don't get as much negative reinforcement as Assassin's Creed. You're right. But it's not far off. And yeah, I thought it was kind of weird.
Just a weird menu choice. Like, hide that stuff. Don't make me feel bummered out. I guess I could talk about my thing.
Tell me. What's your best?
My best thing is the best example of racial profiling. Brought to you by GTA 5.
And the example you're going to give isn't even the best example in the game.
I'm sure not, but I got a kick out of it. I thought it was pretty funny. I don't actually know, so I want... After I talk about it, I want the listeners to do some research, because I'm curious about it. But so when I first got the game, I was recording my episode of Today I Played, which is currently live on Polygon.com. You can go watch it. And... my favorite scene happened about 15 minutes into me playing for the very first time. And I was playing as Franklin. He's the African-American gentleman who drives cars. I thought, like, hey, I'll go up to the country and see the sights and sort of fill out the map, because the map is actually hidden by default. There's like a fog of war until you go to places, you don't get the full map. So I wanted to just do a loop and get an overall sense of how big it was. So okay. I find myself up north. And I see a cable car, which actually you can take to the top of the tallest mountain, which is Mount Chiliad or something to that effect. And you can take a cable car up it and see the sights. And I thought that would be fun. So I walk over as Franklin, and I'm waiting at the cable car. You literally have to wait for the cable car to show up, which takes about 3 minutes to do a loop. And there's a couple NPCs just standing around. They're not like story based. They're just like random NPCs. And one of them's drinking coffee. And I like walk over there and I'm goofing around. I'm like, hey, can I get some coffee? And I'm like 3 feet away from the guy. And he drops his coffee, yells at me, and then calls the cops. And the cops show up. I've got 1 star. I'm still sort of hoping that, like, I'll just be able to take the cable car and, like, walk away. But because I have a wanted rating, I can't take the cable car. And the second the cops show up, I'm, like, expecting, okay, they'll show up, they'll arrest me, whatever. They show up, I have 1 star, and they start shooting at me. Like, they want me dead. I haven't pulled a gun. I haven't hit anyone. I was just standing there, and they're blowing me. They're firing everything they've got at me. So I run away, I get in my car, and I'm like speeding away to try to survive, and I accidentally turn into the military base and get blown up by a tank. But it was sort of amazing, and it made me think, is it possible that the NPCs react to the three different playable characters differently depending on where you are on the map? So for example, if I took Michael into like like low-income ghetto area of Los Santos, would they say different things than they would, or react differently than they would to Franklin? I don't actually know. I haven't done enough research and messed around with it, but I'm curious, did you guys see anything akin to that with the NPCs?
Sometimes people get weird about personal space.
Yeah.
I've noticed that if you get too close to people, even if you're not like actively threatening them, they will sometimes turn on you.
Yeah. So it might just be like me putting like a storyline together in my head that's not actually there.
But I think you could argue there's some racial profiling with the fact that the only person that can buy the marijuana dispensary is Franklin.
Yeah.
The African-American character. That's a little unfortunate.
Yeah, Plant mentioned this. Plant, you said that he can't play tennis as well, right? That's not an option.
Yeah, not that I can get him to.
Sure. So, like, a part of this I sort of understand, where it's like, okay, you don't want characters taking part in activities that they wouldn't rationally take part in as their character, but it doesn't really follow through the rest of the game because, like, why is Trevor playing tennis? Like, if they were more consistent about it would make sense. But yeah, I don't know why certain properties that like Michael or Trevor seems reasonable. Like Trevor deals drugs. Of course he'd want to buy the marijuana dispensary. But yeah, it's a little weird that they lock things out. It makes me wonder if they only wanted to record certain VO for certain characters for those, because they have missions associated with them. And that was just their way of locking it out. But yeah, like, I mean, on the bright side, Franklin's a pretty good swimmer, so at least it's not all stereotypes.
Wow.
Wow. Sheesh.
I'm just saying that's a stereotype.
I know what you're saying.
I don't believe it's an accurate stereotype, but
yeah, absolutely.
Shut up.
So halftime.
I have nothing to talk about.
I've
only played Grand Theft Auto.
I could talk about being an uncle.
Oh my gosh. Get
it. Boring,
you have family. I'm so bored.
Okay, whatever. Don't worry about it. Fuck
you
guys.
No, tell me more. I want to hear.
No, I have nothing to say. Forget it.
I care about your life.
Yeah, we definitely care. You had no involvement in the creation of a human being. But no, you're special too.
Hey, did you guys play Infinity Blade? Did you get the new Infinity Blade?
No, I haven't played it yet.
You guys into Infinity Blade?
I liked the first two. By the end of the second one, I was a little bit like, okay, I've slashed my way through.
Slashed and parried.
Yeah,
I
felt
slash all over again.
Well, let me ask you something.
The magic is back.
Because they spend so much time in Infinity Blade with the story and like the back. They have like novels, but it makes no sense. I have no idea what's going on in that storyline. Like there's a weird sci-fi cloning element to it.
It always felt like a bad Assassin's Creed. Like
it does feel like Assassin's Creed, but like you don't have any idea what's going on.
Oh yeah, that's definitely the case.
Okay,
there are some things going on with cloning that I have no insight into whatsoever. I do not know what's happening. There, it's weird. They've changed the structure somewhat, so there are actual like the original game, and I don't remember if 2 was the same way, but. The original game was very much about you are a line of heroes.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you get as far as you can, you die, and then your son takes over for you. There are specific levels in this game. Like, there are definite, like, you know, you finish an area, and then you move on to the next area. But if you die, you keep all your stuff, and you sort of snap out of what appears to be some sort of simulation or something. I don't know. Are they regenerating you with a clone? I think.
Is it
maybe?
Still sort of like Shadowgate where you're like, do I go left? Do I go right? Is it like that?
Yeah, there's some of that. Yeah.
Okay. But it's more gamey, like more level based.
Yeah. More level based.
Okay.
More, one nice thing is that there's, sort of sub goals, dodge X amount of times, block X amount of times, that kind of thing.
That's stuff that they've had in the past.
I don't think it was in the second one. Although
you're wrong.
Okay,
it was in the second one.
It was first time for everything, I guess.
Second time, actually.
Second time, just this episode, I guess. But I don't know. It's good. I like Infinity Blade.
Is like, does it as apart from that level thing, does any of it feel different?
Yeah, there's like you can make potions. There's different characters. So there's like a woman knight.
Yeah.
Lady knight. She takes on some of the levels. She's a thief. So she uses a bow and arrow and stuff and uses different weapon sets. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
All I can think every time a new Infinity Blade comes out is why do I not get a Shadow Complex 2 out of them?
Yeah, right?
Like, please, guys, just make a Shadow Complex 2.
There's also purchasable currency. I don't know if that was a thing.
Yeah, that was in 2 as well.
2. But yeah, it's, you know, it's Infinity Blade. If you like Infinity Blade, you're going to like this because it is Infinity Blade as hell.
Wow.
Fans of the genre. Chris, play it. What's your best thing?
My best thing is the ability to switch between the characters in the game.
Wait, you could in GTA?
Yeah, so it turns out if you press down on the D-pad.
Yeah. Okay,
are you with me so far?
I've only been playing, you could play as the, like, I've been playing 20 hours as Franklin. You could switch and play different people?
Yeah, so you press down on the D-pad.
Oh my god.
And then you select other people.
What?
I know.
Welcome yeah, try to that.
The future. Yeah, I think I was skeptical of it when I first heard about it and thought it wouldn't work. And there are still some goofy issues with it. Later in the game, there was like one or two missions I asked for. It didn't seem like they were happening in the right order. And
what does that mean?
Like, people that I was working with in one mission, I don't feel like I should have been working with anymore.
Okay.
And I think there are different versions of even cutscenes you can receive, because the cutscene was kind of like, hey, you know, maybe you should just do one more thing for us. It's like, no, I don't think I would. In this one moment, that was like the one time where I really noticed, kind of an inaccuracy. But I think it's great. I loved that each character could kind of own a certain style of mission. Sorry, I'm going to sneeze. No, I'm not. I can't. I said I was going to, and now
you
I
said it.
Look at the light. Look at the light.
But yeah, I liked that there was a character that did the crazy stuff like Trevor. I liked that there was a character who does some of the more businessy things like Michael. I think Franklin's pretty underdeveloped compared to the two.
As a character, I completely agree.
There's a great moment at the end of the game, and this is no spoiler whatsoever, but some people look back on what has happened, and people are like, oh, you know, Michael had this, and Trevor had that, and Franklin, you had that one guy, right? Like, Stretch? Yeah, sure. Stretch. That guy existed. Like, that was certainly a part of the game at one point. But I think it is something that will be ripped off like crazy, and I hope it is, because I just think it makes the game so much more exciting. I think especially in the missions that you guys are about to get to, it makes heist way more compelling. It allows the action to be focused so that you're always doing the cool thing and not the kind of dull thing.
The common thing that I keep thinking of whenever I'm doing a cool mission is like, ordinarily in a GTA game, it'll be like, okay, I have this really cool shootout. And then it's like, okay, run to the top of this building and grab this sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And that no longer happens because you just switch the person that's already on top of the
building. It's also silly because it's like, how am I flying a helicopter and then landing it and then running to get a sniper rifle? And then running from there, it's like, why would one person ever do this much?
Can we not hire someone?
Yeah, please.
Anybody else.
Anyone. I also loved using it to get around the map. Like, if I was just tired of being in the city, I liked being able to switch to Trevor and kind of have a change of pace in terms of just the missions that I was doing. I felt like the side missions for all three of them were fairly different. And that was a lot of fun, kind of learning more about these characters through the people they interact with. And that was most of all what I liked, was that since they're all carrying the weight of the story, they all had these kind of side stories that were happening around them that the other characters weren't aware of, and how all of that impacted the main story as the game progressed, I thought was really, really great. Because that continues to be my problem with large games, is that usually the two or three characters at the center with their single conflict aren't enough to warrant so many hours of play.
Yeah.
While there's just so many characters in this game that become increasingly important as
or even like if you look at a game like Skyrim where the eventual goal is to just be this all-powerful being, like I have no, or even like Fallout, like those open world RPGs, I guess they're all Bethesda games, but you know what I mean, like I have no real connection to these characters because they're just like buckets full with skills.
Yeah.
And it, in my brain, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't it be interesting if, like, okay, I've got this warrior guy that lives here, and he goes on missions, and then I've got the thief, and he goes on, like, thiefy missions. That would be a lot more interesting, and, like, so, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing this a lot more in these sorts of open-world games, where previously it was just, like, one character, and that was it.
And the other thing that it does okay, it does better than most games, though there's plenty of room for improvement, is I did like seeing the disparity in wealth and just culture and class between Michael and Trevor and Franklin. And they hint at it. They, like, you can tell they want to say more in terms of, you know, Michael being this wealthy man who nothing is good enough for him. You know, he's seeking danger, while Franklin, you know, has nothing and is just looking for a foot up. And I think having characters that have these contrasting viewpoints and ambitions is really, really fascinating. And part of why I think it's so funny that you don't find that much success, especially early on in the game, that it kind of is always one step past you, or that there's always somebody doing even better than you in the world. I really dig that. But that's it. There's a lot I really like about this game. It really, I mean, it just feels like a game that was made for all the things that I like in games. Just because it just, I don't know. There's a lot in there that I'm curious to see people write about over the next few weeks. Because I think a lot of people will have some of the similar opinions as Justin and you. And I think there will be a lot of good conversation, which is refreshing. Because I don't feel like we often have kind of conversation where both sides have a lot to say. I think it usually it can be kind of cut and dry with a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think with I think a lot of people remember GTA 4 and how there was that like blowback on it a few months later, where people weren't nearly as awed as they were when they first started playing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that like people were really wowed by that world, that the city that they made, but structurally the game was like not quite there. And most of the missions were kind of like dry and dull. Whereas here, obviously the world is very awe-inspiring, but also I'm engaged by the missions. Also the story, like the characters are interesting. Like I want to know more about them. Trevor keeps hinting the fact that he's Canadian and like kind of has a chip on his shoulder about it. But like a lot of that stuff is subtext that they don't come out and say blatantly. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I would be shocked if that same level of blowback fell on GTA 5, because I really do think just about everything in this game they did very smartly and did it the right way.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think they did with the missions, and whether or not they're always exciting, you know, is debatable. But in GTA 4, I felt like a lot of the missions were, here's an interesting story concept that, you know, relates to New York or this certain type of group of people in New York. And you would hear it, you would see it in some cutscene, and then you would just go back onto the street and go shoot someone. Or you would just drive from a place to another place. And then you would get another cutscene that was like, yeah, that box that you picked up, that was something really interesting and related to the story. But the reality is the mission always kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
Well, here I feel like a lot of the missions, you actually see what you're doing. Like even the paparazzi mission, I feel like in GTA 4 that would have been like, well, get on a bike and just, you know, follow this person for as long as you can. And then at the end there'll be a cutscene where you take a picture of them. Well, here I think they visualize it much, much better. in terms of you actually have the person on the back and you're taking the pictures. You can use Franklin's slowdown thing to get them. I just feel like it's a nice step beyond the kind of easy stuff in GTA 4.
Yeah, it's interesting how they've... I really feel like even more so than with GTA 4, with GTA 5, they've really allowed... Like, it feels less coherent, but in a way that's, like, weirdly progressive. Like, it doesn't feel like a game that you're playing. Like, they have gotten, I think, closer than anybody has before in creating a simulated world. And allowing sort of the, you know, allowing for some of the boredom that I think the real world has in service of that verisimilitude.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Oh, actually, before we end it, that is something I would like to talk about is, I mean, if you've ever seen photos of Rockstar, you see the people who work there. It has this very kind of like punk rockish, like 1980s attitude. I mean, they've spoken about, you know, comparing themselves to a record label mentality. And obviously, you know, the music in the game, they clearly have good taste. But what I'm constantly amazed by is how good they are at recreating hideous corporate architecture. Like, the really boring buildings of a city are so perfect in these games. And I think there's something about causing mayhem in those areas that is so, I don't know, stress relieving. I just love being near, like, you know, that hideous downtown Los Angeles bank and office complex and seeing like 500 cars explode in the middle.
They're also really good at interiors, surprisingly. Like, I never thought of GTA games as like doing interiors that well, but like there's a scene where you go into like a .com, like Facebook-esque office, and I like legitimately felt like I was walking into work at Vox Media. It was pretty kind of crazy.
One of the things that I had like a whole like two or three graphs about in the very early version of the review was you wind up in this young woman's apartment with Trevor, who is the last person who should be there. And it is so, so perfect. I mean, down like dolphin artwork, that those awful decals of like, you know, quotables on the wall, and it just nails it. And that to me is so much more difficult than a lot of it's like easy, cynical, you know, BS about Hollywood and LA and all that stuff. Like nailing just the kind of like oddity of a young 21-year-old woman's like apartment is just so, that to me is tough and kind of hysterical.
Well, I can hear the police bearing down on
sorry.
Us now.
That's my apartment.
It's okay. I think it lends a really nice, an authentic air to our program. We hope that you're enjoying Grand Theft Auto V, and we hope you're having fun when you're supposed to be, and I if you're supposed to be just sort of nodding thoughtfully, I hope you're doing that as well. If you want to read more about the game, we've got oodles of coverage on polygon.com. So head over there and check it out, and be sure to join us again next Friday for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?